I don't know about you, but I, as we sing in Christmas songs today, it's my favorite time because I can still remember what it was like singing Christmas songs before I got saved, and then after I got saved, it just boom. You know, those words on those songs just really mean so much more to a Christian after they're born again, amen? And you have to be born again to be a Christian. That was kind of a play on words there, but anyway, we are continuing talking today about the series I'm kind of looking at was Hope, Help, and Healing. And that's why Jesus came. Now, the first week, which was a couple weeks ago, we had our Christmas program last week, but it's talking about hope, how Jesus is the blessed hope in our life. And today we're going to talk about help. And the title of my message is, Lord, Help Us. And I believe we all need help from time to time. So in saying that, you know, we do know that there's, times in our life, you know, when we just need a little bit of help, just to get through a circumstance or maybe a situation. And then there's other times, to be honest, that we need a lot of help when things aren't going all right. Now, for some people, and I know a few, and sometimes I am that person, it's hard to admit that we need help. You know, you'd be surprised how many people wait till we need a severe miracle where God just almost has to part the Red Sea before they ask anybody for help, where it could have been fixed, you know, maybe a month or two earlier. So it's good to be humble and to ask God at the right time. Now, for me, it's hard to believe that, you know, help could come in the form of a baby. You know what I mean? You know, we needed severe help down here. We were broken and messed up, and God sent a baby. You know, God sent His Son so that He could be able to right our situations that you and I deal with. You know, Jesus came down to be as we are so we could become as He is. And also Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we need to understand that God is our place to go to when we're in trouble. Also, we need to understand that He'll be right there with us in that trouble. I don't know about you, but I have been known in my life to need help, need a miracle from God. Maybe I made a bad decision or, you know, got my wires crossed every now and then, and then you need God to step in. And we're going to look at a couple passages today, and I'm going to do it kind of quickly if I can. Is in John chapter 1, verse 14 to 18, it talks about Jesus and Him coming. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, the glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. Then it just explains it right here. He says, He has explained Him. And we need to see that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You sent Your Son. We thank You. He came down as God wrapped in the flesh. Lord, we pray today as we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate everything that's involved in that, that, Lord, we also remember that Jesus is the reason for this season and that, Lord, how we need to come humbly to Him and to bow our knee. Lord, we all have something to give, like the wise men. They came bearing gifts, and Lord, we just want You to receive our gifts today, gifts of our love and our adoration, gifts of praise. Lord, right now we thank You for Your anointing just to be here. Lord, just that everybody who hears the words of my lips will be challenged today to a deeper walk with You, to be able to walk in Your presence day by day. It's not just a Sunday thing, but it's an everyday thing. Lord, I thank You for the gift You put in me. I use it for Your glory. I bind up the devil from trying to steal the word, and I pray for words that pierce and penetrate and leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, the first point I want to look at today is that we needed help, and God sent a baby. Now, I don't know, every now and then a person needs help. Now, have you ever needed help and somebody offered to help you, but when you looked at them, you just figured, man, this person can't help me. You know what I mean? You're going to lift something heavy. You know, you're going to move something. And the only one that offered to help was somebody that, you know can't lift 20 pounds. You know, I remember as a kid growing up on the farm, I wanted to help all the time, especially in hay season. You know, you see my dad and the neighbors, and we'd all kind of farm together and work together. And then my dad would hire people from Lavella, you know, some high school boys to come out. And, you know, they would help, you know, lift the hay. And, you know, there was a couple good boys there that everybody wanted them. All the farmers wanted those guys because, you know, one of them could stand on the ground and throw it up about 8 bales high and just flip it up over there, just strong as an ox. Well, they weren't always available. So then there was this other guy. You know, he wanted to help, but he couldn't lift the bale by himself. So I remember when I was 8 or 9 years old, and, you know, I probably was more in the way, but I remember when he tried to lift bales, you know, I would jump in and I'd try to help him. I probably didn't look like much help, you know, but I did my best. And see, sometimes in our life, you know, people try to help us and it doesn't look like they can, but yet we got to look beyond that. And see, when we notice in Scripture that God sent a baby, you know, I'm sure the people of Israel, they were crying out for a deliverer. And then God sent a baby, and I'm sure that baby just didn't look like it was going to be able to do much. But see, that baby didn't stay a baby, and that baby's not a baby no more. Amen. That baby grew into a man. Thank you. And he is God, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, and he came to save us. And so we don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. We'd be able to receive the help that we need. You know, Jesus came. You know, he deserved to be born in a palace, but he was really born in a barn. You know, and humble beginnings. You know, you and I, you know, most of us all have humble beginnings here. I don't know of anybody here that was born in a palace. You know, we start with those humble beginnings. And most people back then said there was no room for him. I don't have a place for you. But somebody found a place for him. So I hope that you and I are of the persuasion that we will always find a place for Jesus Christ in our life. That we're always going to make room for him so that he can come into our life. See, some people could only see a baby, but other people see a king. You know, as Amanda mentioned during worship, you know how these wise men, I like the three wise guys is what I call them. You know, they saw a star, they followed that star, and they come bearing gifts because they want to see this king. It had to be a king. Everybody else seen a baby, you know. And be honest, you know, they kind of maybe dissed Jesus a little bit. You know, Jesus' mom got pregnant out of wedlock. Terrible thing back then. So they saw him as maybe not who he really was. But see, God had a plan. He was really a king. And he revealed himself to people who weren't even in the fold, who were out of the Jewish realm, shall we say. These outsiders, much like you and I were. These outsiders could recognize it. And see, that's how we got to be sometimes. We got to make sure that we are able to recognize everything that God's doing us. Because what I found out in my life is that, you know, we need to make sure that we are seeing the things that we need to see. Because what happens in life is sometimes we find what we're looking for. And we got to make sure that we're looking for the right thing. You know, at Christmas time, I remember young and growing up and before I was born again, I wanted presents. Everybody wants presents, right? You know, the kid, you look at that present, you shake those things, you know, you just kind of figure out what's in there, you're looking around, because you just want that present. But I'll tell you what, once you become a Christian and you really understand the whole concept, I really seek his presence. You know, it's that presence of God. You know, the other day I was praying and just seeking God for the future. The future of the church, the future of myself, my family. The presence of God just came into my office at home. And I just wept for 30 minutes. I mean, the power of God was there. His presence, you can't change it. I won't exchange it for anything. I'll be honest, there's some things that people give me, I want the receipt, man. You know what I'm saying? I want to exchange that thing. I will never use that. I will always use the presence of God in my life because it's life-changing. It makes a difference. It makes me want to be more than I knew I could ever become. And that comes because Jesus came in the flesh. See, God knew that he had to find a way to get back in your and my life because it was a terrible situation. He knew that we needed help. And all through history, you know, through thousands of years there, you know, man, you know, just kind of fuddled through, you know, and tried to do the best they could. And, you know, God would maybe, you know, every now and then, you know, try to help him. But, you know, he had to keep his distance. He wanted to get up close and personal. He wanted to get really close to us. You know, but there's a problem. It's that sin barrier. It's that barrier of sin because God is so holy and we are so not. So God had to make a way. And you know, you wouldn't really think it out, you know, but we needed so much help and God sent a baby, but we didn't understand that inside that baby was God. So God made a way. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. It's so important. It's so special. And no other religion can boast in what we can boast about when we boast about God. God went to such great lengths to have a relationship with you and I. That he sent his son as a baby, like that little baby, you know, that we have in a manger here for our Christmas program. You know, we just see the innocence. We see the power and the touch that God has for our lives. So I want us to really receive that this year, you know, because, you know, primarily, you know, in the old days was the idea that God primarily through the law could only deal with our actions. And the Bible was a book of don'ts back then. You know what I mean? Don't do this. Don't do that. But see, when Jesus came in the flesh, and he revealed really what God was really like, because until I met Jesus, I thought, didn't think God was that great a guy. I mean, I knew he's creator, I knew he's powerful, da-da-da-da. But I didn't think God was a lot of fun. I thought God just kind of wanted me to toe the mark and, you know, sit down and shut up, boy, you know what I'm saying? Back when you was a kid, you used to hear that. You know, Dad used to say, do as I say, not as I do, you know, just sit there and be quiet. I like to ask a lot of questions. You know, I like to learn things. And I'm sure I was annoying to my parents. Because I just would ask so many questions. You know, so they tell me, sit down and shut up. Not very often, just every now and then. You know, everybody, how many parents have done that? Come on, be honest. You know, Dad always told me I made him nervous because I always asked a lot of questions. So I don't know what that all meant. But anyway, you know, the idea that, you know, we understand that, you know, through the law, God can only deal with the actions. But through Jesus Christ, God was wanting to deal with our intentions. You know, he's wanting to get to the root of the situation. You know, that's what we need to do. That's why we need to get free and to deal with why we're doing what we do. I mean, we can't change what we do until we understand really what God wants to do. He wants to kill that thing at the root so that we can go free. And what he did, he gave us grace upon grace. Now, grace is one of those things that you and I need. I mean, grace is God's power working our life. It's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. God just gave it to you. You know, and that's what I love to do. You know, my deep down, you know, drive that I have sometimes is I like helping people and I'll help anybody. But I really, really, really like helping someone who cannot help themselves. I don't know, there's just something about that. When God can use you to step into somebody's life, and then you can make that difference to give them a better life. And it's for the glory of Jesus Christ, amen? And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to understand just how these things work because he wants to give us lavish grace in our lives. He just pours it on, even more than we could ever think or need. He just keeps pouring it back onto us. And he does it because he wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to understand really what he's like and really what he's all about. You know, most times I think people think that God's playing hide and seek. And God's really playing follow the leader. You know, we think he's trying to hide from us. We think God's trying to be, you know, behind the curtain like the Wizard of Oz with a guy pulling the levers back there and you can never really get to know that guy. But God's not like that. God wants to play follow the leader. God wants us to follow him. And as we follow him and we get closer to him, we get that glimpse, we get that understanding of who he is and what he wants to do in our life. And see, that's where we need to get. And that's why Jesus Christ came. That's why we have Christmas. See, God sent his son to no longer seem elusive, but to be identifiable. God wants us to be able to identify him working in our life, to be a part of everything that he's doing. And like the scripture says there, you know, Jesus came to explain the Father. He came to show us God's family traits. Now, some of us have our family traits, right? You know, I'm short and squatty on my mom's side, you know. On my dad's side, they got the tall stuff. You know, we take over that. And how many, you know, when you were growing up, you say, I'll never be like my parents. You ever said that before? And then you had kids. And then all of a sudden, something comes out of your mouth. And it just sounded like dad, or it just sounded like mom. See, we carry on them traits. What we hang around, what we're exposed to. And that's why we need to make sure that we're exposing ourselves to the things of God so we carry on those family traits. Because those are the ones that we want to manifest. You know, one thing I like about the scripture when it talks about God and Jesus, when he said, you know, he looked out, Jesus was there and he's looking in Jerusalem and all them people were scurrying for different things, wanting different things, much like you're in my life today, you know. We're just hustling here and hustling there and going after this and going after that. And, you know, Jesus looked out and he said he had compassion. He said they look like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. He also said that they're like a, he just wanted to take them like a hen, you know, gathers her chicks under her wings. I mean, that's a whole new revelation of God that I didn't understand when I was growing up. To see that side of God, that he just wants to get up close and he wants to get personal. And see, that's the image that we need to understand. You know, like I said, it didn't used to be, but God changed it. You know, the scripture says there that the word became flesh. You know, once the word of God starts making sense to us, nothing else makes sense anymore. And I want you to think about that for a minute. Maybe even write it down. As I always say, the shortest pencil's better than the longest memory. You know, once God's word, once you start getting in it, and you start to, the teacher, the Holy Ghost starts to reveal it to you. You know, we start to see those things. And then we see how confused the world is and how messed up it is. How operating by chaos and the God of this world, how he's blinded the eyes of everybody. You know, John is interesting that he said, you know, John, you know, Elizabeth, his mom, was pregnant before Mary was. But John gave a revelation here, kind of a little breadcrumb for us to understand. He said, you know, John, even though he was born before Jesus, he said Jesus existed before him. Well, some flags should have went up, understanding that. He also said that Jesus was a higher rank than him. Even before Jesus, really, he was just starting in ministry. You know, so those are things, little breadcrumbs, you know, in Scripture, you know, that God left so that we could understand it. Then it goes on to say, talking about grace and truth. See, grace without truth can be a license to sin, and truth without grace can turn into bondage. Okay? So we need to make sure that we have them together. But God says there that he wants us to have grace upon grace. We need all the grace that we can get in our life. It's God's unmerited favor. You know, to me, grace is God's power helping us keep the truth. Well, the truth is in God's word, and we need that balance. See, the truth alone feels how we come short. You know, you read something in the Bible, and you say, well, I'm not there yet. How many's done that? I mean, every day. Oh, man, I'm not there. But then grace with truth reveals that the Spirit of God is working inside you and I, leading us deeper and deeper in that truth. Next point I want to look at is practical ways. I'm just ways that the Lord helps us. I just wanted to point out a couple in our life that hopefully, you know, you and I maybe deal with a little bit. In Mark chapter 9, 21 to 24, you know, dealing with a demon, you know, demons are real. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you believe there's a God, you have to believe there's a devil, and the devil has some helpers, and the helpers aren't very nice people. Or very nice spirit, shall we say. And it says here, and he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Have you ever had to do that before? You know, maybe you got into a situation and it was over, a little over your faith head. You know what I mean? You're here and this is a big thing up here. Well, God, help our unbelief. We all deal with it. I mean, there's no shame in that. You know, we're finite creatures following an infinite God. So there's some things in life that maybe don't connect the dots all the time, and that's why we need God. You know, here Jesus helps his unbelief, because sometimes we just don't get it. You know, I know there's times in my life the elevator isn't going to the top floor all the time. You know, and I have to be aware of that. I just know that, and that's why we need to surround ourselves with people of like precious faith, people that are believers. And I hope you have those in your life. If not, you need to kind of try to meet some, amen? You know, try to get around some people, get to know other believers. And, you know, God bless the Wednesday night Bible study here. I know there's relationships being built with people. People are helping each other, and there's different ways you can connect, you know, because sometimes we just need that, because we lose sight with our spiritual eye, and we only look at things with our natural eye. I'm sure that parent, you know, anything, you know, what really messes up a parent is when you see your kid and you just feel helpless and you feel powerless, and there's just nothing you can do, no matter how hard you try. Lord, help our unbelief. Help us so that we can see and to be able to do what you want us to do. Another passage, and there's going to be a couple here, is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. It says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Now, we're all characters, right, sometimes. So we got to make sure our character is free of the love of money. Being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you. I will never forsake you. So we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? So there's a couple here. You know, how the Lord is our helper. You know, sometimes, you know, God wants to help us in two ways. He wants us to help overcome loneliness, because loneliness is one of those things that we deal with in life every now and then. And he also wants us to deal with financial need. Now, it says here that he's never going to desert us or forsake us. You know, God promises here that he's not going to leave us hanging. He's not going to leave us alone. You know, I found out when other people is running out of my life, God is running in. And that's what we have to remember. You know, God is somebody that we know that we can trust and somebody that we can hold on to. You know, we need to see that God is our provider. You know, but to see that, God did put a disclaimer in here. We're supposed to love God, not love money. Me with my finite intellect, if we love money, it's hard to get it to work in our life. You know what I'm saying? You know, if we make the mistake of chasing after the wrong thing, then, you know, it's hard for God sometimes to maybe fulfill the promise, because he says we're not supposed to love money, so we need to get free from that. Also, something very important for us to understand is how to overcome the fear of man. You know, a lot of times what holds us back in life is that we're afraid of what other people think about us all the time. You know, it holds us back. And what I found out is that the fear of man holds us back from achieving great success for the kingdom of God. If we're so worried about what everybody thinks about us, we're never going to step out in faith and to be able to follow and maybe say or do what God wants us to do. Maybe you feel God is telling you to go talk to somebody about him. You know, we need to step out and not be afraid about what they think. You know, when we get free from that, it's very, very powerful. And I hope you catch this revelation. When we make God our only judge, it's a step towards freedom. See, you may feel that people in this community or people in this world are judging you. Don't care about it. Don't let it bother you. Don't worry about so much about what they think. Know that you and I are only going to have one judge in life, and his name is Jesus Christ. That his opinion is really the only one that matters. Oh yes, I don't want to be obnoxious all the time. I want people to, you know, like me and all that stuff. But you know, I'm not looking for their approval. You know, we can't do that. And what happens, it all comes from starting with a godly self-image inside. Once you start to get your self-image straightened out and you're not worried about what people think all the time, then you won't make some decisions that you're making. You know, I watch a lot of people make bad decisions in relationships and different things. It stems back to a poor self-image and worrying so much what other people think. Isaiah 41:10 then says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. See, God helps us by strengthening us. You know, we shouldn't fear the battles in life. Now, you can take this to the bank. from the womb to the tomb, we are going to have troubles in life. That's why we need the Lord. You're going to have troubles. You know, just because you got saved and you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior doesn't mean that everything is going to be hunky-dory all the time. You know, sometimes we go through battles. Sometimes things come in as, you know, excuse me. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's finances. Sometimes it's all these things that you and I have to deal with. That's why we need Jesus to come in. And that's why, you know, there's times in our life when there's more life than we have faith. And that's why we need to grow and come to know Him in a better way. And God promises here that He's going to strengthen us, and He promises to hold us up from going down. We just have to trust Him. Now, the last passage I want to look at today is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Should be very familiar. It's a passage that, you know, has some good revelation about what we need to understand about when we come to God. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Okay, that's important. Hold your confession. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Then it says, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Okay, here we see that we have help when we need it. And it gives us sort of a formula, sort of a pathway or a way that we can get there. You know, it first starts is that we see that Jesus is somebody that we can identify with, that we can come to Him. Jesus, like I said, He was God in the flesh. Now granted, He had the Spirit without measure. I understand all that. But nevertheless, you know, the Bible also says no temptation can overcome us, which is common to man, but that God will provide a way of escape for us. Amen? So we see that He understands. He identifies with our problems. That's why He came down as a baby. He identifies that we need help. He identifies that we got to come to the throne of grace. Now, this statement that He became as we are so we could become as He is, you can't understand that without the grace of God. Jesus come down to be as we are. He come down as a baby. He come down and as He walked as a man. And He waited until the timing that God had set up where He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And with that same Holy Spirit that lives in you, that lives in me, Jesus fulfilled everything that He was called to do. And that same Spirit came and He lives inside of you and us. And we can walk in that. That's why we got to hold fast that confession. You know, keep confessing that Jesus is for you and not against you. God is not trying to keep you from His will. God wants you to reveal it to us. He wants us to understand it. God wants you to know what you're supposed to do in life. He wants you to have purpose. He wants you to have well-being on the inside. He wants to help us through the things in life that we go through. Those times when you may put your head down on the pillow and you may have tears because you're worried about tomorrow. Jesus wants to be with you in that situation. Maybe somebody in your life has ran out on you. Maybe they've left you and you depended on them so much. Now we need to depend on God. Now we need to draw close to Him. God will open doors that no man or devil can shut. You know, we need to confess that we can draw near to Him with confidence. That we have that confidence through the blood of Jesus Christ. Through that, we have no guilt and certainly no shame. And this is how we get help. It says, you know, in my opinion, that there are times in our life when we're way past grace and we're heading into mercy. Have you been there? I have. Grace to me is God's power. Some people use grace as an excuse. You know, when they fall short all the time. And it's mainly not because, you know, God has failed them. It's just the fact that they're not really wanting to. They don't want to follow God. They don't want to be obedient. So they fall short. And sometimes in life, you know, things don't go our way. I understand that. And we get all frustrated and we get mad. So that's when God gives us mercy. Because we need mercy from time to time. You know, it says we're supposed to, you know, here's what I see, is that we receive mercy, and mercy means showing kindness and compassion by not giving us what we deserve. Now, God gives that to you, and God gives that to me. Should we give that to other people? Should we give mercy to other people sometimes? We should. We should. We should let them off the hook because we got off the hook. Then it talks about finding grace. And to me, finding grace is bestowing favor that is undeserved. See, God shows us mercy, but he gives us grace. And mercy is liberating and grace is empowerment. Now, I remember a story that I saw on a video and related to me because I was being raised on a farm and something that there's a few jobs I disliked. And I'm sure of you. Cleaning out the silo shed in the summer was a bad one because the wind's out of the south and you had to scoop it to the south. And that was ugly. But what I didn't really like is I hated fencing. Okay, I hated fixing fence. And when it rained, instead of getting a day off like everybody else got a day off, we fixed fence. But other than that, another job we hated, you know, how many know Sunday's supposed to be the day of rest? You know what I'm saying? Well, Sunday afternoon sometimes, Dad get a wild hair, and we went and picked up rocks out in the field and sticks, you know, so you wouldn't hit them with the planter or the disc or whatever. And I a story, and I think it was on one of the Alphas is where I first saw it, and it was about this father, and he told his son to go out in the garden and start to pick up rocks so they can sow seed in the spring, okay? So the little boy went out there, and he was smaller, and then he was picking up rocks, doing a good job, and he came across a rock that he couldn't handle. Have you ever come into a rock that you can't handle every now and then? Okay. Well, he started lifting and tugging and pulling and trying everything that he could. Couldn't move that rock. He looked up at the house, and there's Dad just watching him. Oh, he was getting mad. Just getting mad. Why isn't he coming down here to help me? Can't he see that this rock is too big for me to handle? Well, after a while, he just gave up. He walked up to the house, just stomping up there, just mad. He says, Dad, you saw me down there fighting that rock. You knew I couldn't handle that rock. Why didn't you help me? Dad said, you never asked. And see, that's what sometimes happens in our life. We go through things. We're frustrated. We're mad. We can get mad at God. But we've never asked him for help. And that's why we need to know that sometimes, Lord, help us. This Christmas, the greatest gift that we can give ourselves is admitting that it's okay to ask for help. If we could have done it on our own, Jesus would never have had to come. Make it simple. Let go and let God. Let's pray.